want to welcome His Honor, the City of Racine Mayor, Corey Mason, is here.
Good morning.
You're feeling good.
I am.
Your arm's working.
My arm's working through the worst of the flu. There's a nasty flu going around City Hall and throughout the community, and I was lucky enough to enjoy that last week, but I'm back in good stead and happy to be here this morning.
Go to spring training for the Brewers now that your arm's all fixed.
And not quite.
Okay. So the mayor's here. We got a bunch of things to talk about. If you have a question, you can download the Civic Media app. Go to the App Store. You'll see it there and look for WRJN on the list of radio stations. And when you do that, all you do is have to text your question. And if we have time, we'll get to it. Let's talk about some of the, let's talk about this first. Fire and police contracts.
Yeah.
Signed,
yeah.
Sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. So the fire contract has been passed through the through the full council, and then next Tuesday the police contract will be up. But yeah, they're all negotiated and agreed to. It was one final vote to take on Tuesday for the police contract, but happy to have that done. You know, our police and fire personnel do a lot of dangerous work to keep us all safe, and it is good to have contracts. They're 4-year contracts, and so we've got contracts settled for a while, and we're glad to be able to do it. And I think we reached a fair deal for taxpayers and a fair deal for our employees who deserve a raise.
There isn't enough money in this world to get me to be a police officer or a fireman.
It is hard work.
It's dangerous work.
Yeah.
You never know that when you pull over a car, what's going to happen. I mean, I watch enough of these true crime and body cam shows. It's dangerous out there. So thank goodness there are people that want to do it. Pay them what they want. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the warming centers. Now, it's zero here now. This has been a rough January.
It has been a snowy, cold winter. I mean, I knew the last couple of years, people have been, man, global warming, and who knows if we'll ever see snow again in the wintertime.
I was so hopeful for this global warming.
Well, this is the counter narrative to that. It is the snowiest and coldest winter we've had. They were talking to the DPW staff about, you know, snowfall versus cold, but it's certainly the coldest one in at least 10 years and the most snow in at least 20. So it has been a winter to remember, that is for sure. But what that means right now is it is bitterly cold out there. And so if people need a place to be warm, we do have our community centers that are open from 8 to 5. And so that's the Bryant Center, the Cesar Chavez Center, the King Center, the Humble Park Center. And so, you know, people should check those out and make themselves available to them if they want to do that. But there's also the hospital is a warming center as well.
They would say warming center. If you go to the hospital,
it basically means you can stay in there to be warm.
I'm staying in the lobby.
Yeah. And okay. They make space available. It's one of the, you know, our public health department sort of looks to find places like, what do you do if it's 0 degrees?
Zero. I got to work the other day. It was minus 14.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody can survive out there. Yeah. Right. That was the actual temperature.
But the other thing that I wanted to mention about it, too, is if people see people outside and they're exposed to the elements like that, they may be experiencing frostbite and some really, you know, potentially life-threatening conditions. If people see that, you can call the fire department and let them know about it. And they'll send an ambulance out there and make sure they're okay. And if they need to take them to the hospital to treat frostbite or even just to get warm, the city will do that. So if you're seeing people that are out in the cold and exposed to the elements, you know, don't hesitate to reach out and let the fire department know about it, because it can be deathly cold out there at those temperatures.
You know, I go out from my car to my house, from my house to my car, and I'm freezing. I can't imagine sleeping out overnight in minus 14. I don't care how bundled up you are.
No, I was, you know, came to City Hall after a meeting yesterday, and a nice woman stopped me, wanted to talk just for a couple minutes. But just standing out there for a couple minutes, it was like, it's really, really cold. So, yeah. So, you know, we need to take extra note of people who might not be indoors and make sure, you know, can certainly, again, those warming centers are available at our 5 community centers, and the hospital is also one of the warming centers. But if you see somebody exposed to the elements and you think they're freezing to death or getting frostbite, you can call the fire department, you can call dispatch and let them know, and they'll send somebody out.
When I go to work in the morning, I see people walking up and down the street, 16th Street, downtown, just they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And they're just walking to stay warm, and it breaks your heart. I mean, I don't know what to do other than they can go to the hospital or open 24 hours.
Right.
You can go to the library during the day, but that closes at a certain hour and you got to leave. But that's tough.
It is. It is.
And, you know, they don't have this problem in Hawaii and Florida.
They do not. they get hurricanes, though. So, you know. It's
I know. All right. My daughter calls me every time it snows here. She goes, ha-ha, I got 3 inches of snow. Ha-ha, your roof blew off in the last hurricane. Did you get it fixed yet? I'll shovel the snow. It'll be gone in a half hour.
Yeah.
Your roof will be off for a couple of months.
I mean, we had to delay garbage for a day last week because it was so cold. The hydraulics on the garbage.
Is that why? I know it. Yeah. They moved over a day.
It got so cold. Like the hydraulics to, you know, dump the garbage. Just it didn't work. It was too cold.
You know, as a kid, I hate to sound like, you know, when I was a kid, they used to pick up the metal garbage pails. They had to pick them up and put them in.
Yeah.
To the truck, there was no hydraulics.
No wheels, no lift.
Nothing. And my father had a galvanized garbage pail, which I can't explain it to you. It's just very heavy. It's an industrial garbage pail because he worked in industry, so we had this big garbage pail. And it took me and my brother, both of us, to carry it out to the curb. And these garbage men hated that garbage pail because it was so heavy. Yeah. And one day they just threw it in there and brought the lid down on it and broke it and said, now get a real one.
Yeah.
And my father was real upset because it was heavy, Dad. Come on.
Yeah.
Just get these guys to lift. Now they don't have to lift. They just, you know, one guy can operate the truck. So one last garbage story. So every year we give gift cards to the recycling, the post office, and to the garbage guy. So the recycling guys come when I'm home from work, and it was easy to run out there and give them the gift cards. But the people who pick up the regular trash, I'm here.
Yeah.
And it went on for 3 weeks. And finally, the week after Christmas, I said, I'm going to track these guys down. So I went down all the streets. I went down Michigan. I went down, what's between Michigan and Maine? I can't think of that street.
Chatham.
I went down ours. And I kept going down the streets. And I came across Buchanan. Now, it's not that far from me. I never heard of it, though.
Yeah.
And there were the guys on Buchanan. I pulled over in front of their truck, so they couldn't get away.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
No, they went there into the garbage. And I said, I have something for you. You do my street in Maine? They said, yes. Here it is. And they said, thank you very much, and they moved on. But I had to stop these guys. I can't get to them.
Yeah.
But I finally got them there. $10 gift cards to Chick-fil-A, I think it was.
Well, it was very kind of you.
Yeah, I think there's a limit. I think $10 or...
Yeah, it's something like, it's got to be nominal, right?
Bought him a lunch. So big deal. We're seeing Mayor Corey Mason with me this morning. We're talking about a variety of topics. We talked about the police and fire. Yeah. The contracts are ready to be approved. One did get approved already.
Yeah, one's approved and the other one's on the agenda for next week.
So if your house starts on fire, you should feel comfortable about it.
Well, you shouldn't feel comfortable that your house is on fire. But you can rest assured knowing that
someone's
well-trained professional people are on their way to try to make sure you're safe.
Yeah, I know. You see these pictures when buildings burn down in northern cities, and they got to go in there, and the building's covered in ice, and they got to start looking. I don't know how they do it.
No, it's tough. I mean, when that happens, too, we'll bring a city bus around just so that people have a space to be warm and not have to stand outside and be wet and cold at the same time while they're...
Yeah, when you're...
We've had to do that before.
We talked about warming centers. Let's talk about the Siena Retreat Center, 60th anniversary of the Siena Center.
Yeah.
My mother, that's a rehab. My mother was there.
Yeah, so it's now got, memory care facilities out at the Siena Center. But, you know, they're celebrating their 60th year as a retreat. And you think about, you know, when you think about institutions and groups of people that have really, you know, helped found the city and make it what it is and, you know, really impacted the broader community, those Dominican sisters have just been... You know, an amazing part of our community. I mean, you think St. Patrick's, where I was baptized, they were certainly involved in getting that going. If, you know, for people who went to St. Catherine's High School, they were involved in that. Dominican College was once here, you know, a long, long time ago. My mother started her college career there. But if you just think of like groups of people and organizations that just have been so critical to laying the foundation of what this community is and, you know, have really impacted so many people's lives through the decades, really. You know, so it's, you know, for people who might have a chance to get out to the center this afternoon, and check it out and celebrate their legacy here, certainly encourage it. They've done so many positive things for so many countless people for decades and decades in this community. And so certainly wanted to congratulate them on their 60th anniversary on that retreat center and, you know, in a heartfelt way, really thank them for all they've done for our community and wish all those sisters well.
I'm showing the mayor a picture. It was taken during the fall.
Oh, beautiful.
That's taken from my mother's window
at
the Siena Center. She said, take a picture of that. I love that picture. And the leaves aren't going to be there in a week.
Right.
So better take it now.
Yeah, looks like a sugar maple in full fall.
Blur. She loved it. That was taken from her room window there, and she loved it. So I'll tell you a quick Siena Center story my mother told me. So one day I go in there, and on her nightstand, tons of candy. I said, where'd you get all this candy from? Because she's not a big candy eater. She says, we had a contest, a music contest. And these people are so stupid, I answered every question.
she won all the candy.
Yeah, they didn't know anything. So I said, what are you going to do with it? No, I'll give it away. Because she's not a big, we're not big candy eaters. So she said, oh, they're so stupid, they couldn't get one answer. So I got them all. Okay, so the 60th anniversary.
Yeah.
Then we have a retirement. Parks Director Tom Mulbeck.
What's that about? Tom Mulbeck is retiring, yes. I tried to prohibit it, but I was told I'm legally not allowed to prevent somebody from retiring. But yeah, but Tom's been great. I mean, he's been the Parks Director the entire 8 years that I've been the mayor. And before that, he's been in the Parks Department for decades. And he's just been a great public servant. You know, they do all the work with the community centers. They do all the parks, right? But then they do the cemeteries, the golf courses. The forestry division is under the Parks Department. You know, the medians in the street that have the little plants on it, that's all the Parks Department that takes care of all those things and the parkways there. So they have a very dynamic department. And, you know, when we were going through the worst of COVID and we were trying to figure out, all right, we need some people to pivot and solve some problems there, the Parks Department was always so helpful and willing to engage people. And that was thanks to Tom's leadership. So I really want to, in seriousness, congratulate Tom on his pending retirement. But he will be missed. He has certainly made the Parks Department, you know, bigger and stronger than when he found it. And, you know, we're building the new King Community Center over there on Martin Luther King. And he was certainly critical to getting that off the ground. So he does retire and he will be missed. But I wanted to take a couple minutes just to wish him well and thank a great Racine public servant for a great career.
You know, I used to hate when people left where I worked. I just don't leave. We're doing everything.
I mean that as a compliment.
The gears are all running. Yeah, they're all on the, we're shooting all the cylinders and you got to go stick a wrench in it by leaving.
By enjoying his retirement.
I know.
Which he's earned and he deserves. And,
I know, but
I'm
still.
Happy for him, but it'll be big shoes to fill, no doubt.
Now, when do you replace him?
So we've been doing interviews this week and we'll have an announcement very soon. But today is about just acknowledging Tom.
Well, good.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Good. Yeah, it might be a public servant. That's good. You know, I love that. Okay. Enough with the good stuff. Let's talk about the potholes. Now, only because everybody's hitting them. Now, some of the roads you're not responsible for. The county's responsible for those, like Spring Street. And anything with a letter or a number on it, that's not your problem. I hit some on Main Street. I don't understand the manhole cover thing. Now, one of the former aldermen explained it to me. They said, well, they do that because the road's going to sink and they want it to be level with the road when they make it. I said, yes, but it's been 5 years. The road's not sinking anymore.
Yeah, well, there's a specific manhole cover. We can look into that. I will say when we have to do this much snow and ice removal and all the salt and all the extremely cold weather, it is the perfect condition to create potholes, right? I mean, when those, you know, snowplow blades go over it and it's this cold out.
I know,
chunks of ice, it'll take part of the pavement out with it. And so we'll no doubt have, once it, you know, I do believe that eventually it will not be this cold every day. At some point in March, we will start to see things thaw again. And when we finally get through the worst of the snow season, no doubt DPW will have their work cut out with them.
Now, is it
the street maintenance repair that we'll need to do?
Does it help if people who do they let know where there's a huge pothole?
So, yeah, you should call the city directly at customer service. That's the quickest and best way to do it. It allows us to track like where we go. So it's 262-636-9171 is the general number to call there and let them know where it is. Like, hey, I live on this street and there's a big, you know, again, in the height of snow and ice removal, it might be a bit before we get to the street repair because the season we're in right now is there. But it's important for us to know about them. And, you know, if we get a break in the weather or if it's a large enough concern, we'll certainly know about it and take a look at it. But yeah, this winter has been, you know, I mean, we had a couple DPW guys. It's been decades since we've had this much snow and this much cold and so many snow events that we've had to deal with. So I urge patience amongst citizens. We're getting out there as quickly as we can and need to make it safe for people to, first and foremost, for the emergency vehicles to move around, and then we get to all the local streets within 24 hours of the snow stopping. But, man, it has been a doozy of a winter, both in cold and in snowfall. So, again, you know, last year we were like, man, I don't know if we'll ever see an accumulation of snow ever again. I don't know if that's, you know, maybe that's something in the past. And Mother Nature.
We're pretty lucky. Have you seen what's going on the East Coast? I mean, New York City got a foot of snow. Now, the problem with New York City getting a foot of snow, there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like here where you can push it off to the... There's nowhere. Yeah. Nowhere to put that. And Buffalo, and like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
By the way, we're coming up to the big Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Snowstorm anniversary. I remember that one.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've been having, you know, we had a very early big November snowfall, right? I mean, the leaves were barely off the tree at that point, right? It had been pretty mild. All of a sudden you get 14 inches of snow. It's been tough. But we've also had, in the last few years, more snow in March than we'd had in January and February. So there's always the weird, you know, one day where lake effect snow comes in and you get 3 or 4 inches in March. So, yeah, it is winter in Wisconsin. And, you know, our men and women at DPW doing everything they can to get everything clear. But the snow is frustrating, but the cold can really, really be dangerous. So if you see people out there in the elements, please give the fire department a call.
You know, I just saw an interesting news story on ABC World News last night. I'm trying to remember. I know it was in Pennsylvania. They had like 3 feet of snow. This little baby had to get to the hospital, and there was no way for that ambulance to get through. So a snowplow driver heard about it. He brought his plow. He worked for the city. Brought his plow. He got on the interstate, and he plowed a whole lane just so that ambulance can get through.
Wow.
And he plowed it right to the hospital. First, he plowed it to their house to get the baby.
Yeah.
And then he plowed from their house. And you could see on the video, all he is, he's just a few feet ahead of that ambulance. And the ambulance just followed him wherever he was. So he could plow through. Baby's in the hospital. Baby will be fine.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's your DPW people.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
No, it's exactly what they do.
Yeah. And remember, when they get to work, there's no plowed streets.
That's right.
They have to get through without it. I mean, the jobs these people in the city do, they got fire, police, snowplow, the garbage pickup, the recycling people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm watching this guy yesterday pick up the recycling. It's one below zero outside.
Yeah. So cold.
And this guy's operating the truck by himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one person per truck. I mean, I think sometimes people, it's a crew of two or three. Like, no, it's just one person. You know, they move the car the truck forward and hop out and put the pails on and dump it and then move ahead and do the next one. So it's pretty, you know, it's more automated than it was. All the carts have wheels. There's a lift to help move it on.
So you're still outside.
But you're still outside in those elements all day.
And then you got to go get the garbage pails that people leave on the sidewalk instead of. Now, I can understand if you have like a whole big mound of snow, you put it in the street right in front of your curb there. So it's easy to get to. But some people don't do that.
Yeah.
They put it on the sidewalk. So now he's got to get out. He's got to walk all around. And he's got to, I look at that. I wouldn't want that job. Makes your job look pretty easy by comparison.
Oh, 100%. All my meetings are indoors. So
except for that one you met the person on the street.
Yes, yeah. A reminder of it's really, really cold.
Okay, what are we looking forward to? Anything coming up that we should
be aware of? Black History Month is coming up. Yep. February is just around the corner. So, you know, we've got a number of, obviously, you know, people, of course, will think of Martin Luther King Jr. and other big, Philip Randolph, other national figures that are there. But there's some really great local folks that need to be acknowledged that are part of African-American History Month, too. So, you know, people like Chuck Tyler or Corinne Reed Owens or, you know, Blue Jenkins and some of these other, you know, Gwen Moore, who's the congressman from Milwaukee. She grew up here in Racine. You know, a lot of great people that we want to acknowledge throughout the course of the month. So as part of our celebrating America's 250th anniversary, we're going to take time to talk about all the great people that make Black History Month an important thing, not just nationally, but here locally, too.
On February 10th, the Racine Public Library is bringing us Joanna Jackson and Keontae Redding. They're talking about the Black History Month read-in at the Racine Public Library.
That's great.
So they'll be in talking about that.
Yeah,
looking forward to that. And,
And in terms of other things to look forward to, spring. I would really like to look forward to spring. And I'm hoping when we meet next month, it's not quite so cold.
One year we had a big snowstorm, and they put my chair right on the mound of snow between the sidewalk and the street. And I said, I'm ready for the 4th of July parade. I got my seat ready to go. Because it's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in, Mayor.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And always interesting to hear what's going on in the city of Racine.
Yeah. Stay safe out there. Stay warm out there, everyone.
I had so much hope for that global warming. I put my whole basket of eggs in that global warming. It let me down.